Welcome to the Living Spiritfully podcast. Here's your host for today, Paul Gloro.
Here we are, the very last day of the first month of 2024. We are already in Aquarius season, and Crystal Eves is here. Hey, Crystal.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
I'm fabulous. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Thanks.
Awesome. I love that you're here. Now, disclaimer to the listeners, we are recording this in the last couple of days of the sun being in Capricorn. Now, this is released on the 31st of January. In real time, what's happening, not now with us now, but when it's released, the sun has already been in Capricorn for at least 10 days. And so, the sun has been in Aquarius. Yes, thank you. For at least 10 days. So I'm curious to see where this conversation goes and how the energy starts to, you know, show itself over the next little while. But here we are in Aquarius season.
Yes, yes, we are. And it goes by so quickly. We're going to talk about, you know, like what is Aquarius and what's in store for Aquarians and that type of thing. Is this our plan?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Now, I just want to start off by saying Aquarius, I never really understood. I had some friends in high school that were Aquarius. At the time, I didn't know that that's the opposite sign of Leo. And now as I learn more, it makes sense to me why sometimes I didn't quite understand the way that friend would be. But thanks to you, I've learned to understand Aquarius a little bit more. And I'm just really fascinated by this. But I think it's, I don't know, for me, it's important to know that Aquarius is the opposite sign. And in fact, I've been meeting a lot of Aquarians in the last year or so that have been having just sort of like, they've just played like little roles in my life that were kind of prominent for a period of time. So I'm curious to see where this conversation goes.
I love Aquarians. I love Aquarian energy. It's, to me, it feels uncomplicated. You know, it's clear in many ways. It's an air sign, just like Libra and Gemini. So it's very much a thinker sign. If a person has strong Aquarian energy in their chart or in their personality, if they're born an Aquarian, and then they're going to be interested in ideas. And I find that very fascinating that a person would do that. The difference between the other air signs and Aquarius is that Aquarius is a fixed sign. So it's a strong sign. So what we get with Aquarius is we get a person who is strong in their thinking, strong in their convictions, strong in their understanding. And lucky for us, Aquarius is a humanitarian sign. So what they are, you know, what they're interested in usually is the betterment of the planet, of people, of life here. And they're very clear about that. And they're not afraid to sort of stick to their principles when it comes to these things. And so you're going to find Aquarians doing in all sorts of ways benefiting others. They'll protest. They'll chain themselves to a tree to save the rainforest, you know, the big red oaks. They will put their money where their mouth is in terms of, you know, what's doing right as far as they understand what right is. And so you have to be strong to do that because there's considerable pressure in this world and in life generally. Just go along with it. Just go along with everyone's doing, with what everyone is up to. Go along with things as they are. And really just, Aquarians have this way of saying, well, no, I'll decide what's important. I'll decide whether I'll go along or not go along. And I find that refreshing. So they need to have that strength and they need to have that clarity. And they're very friendly types of people, unless maybe you're on the other side of the opinion to them. Because you'll never change an Aquarian's mind about anything. I'm just going to call it what it is. You won't change an Aquarian because they put considerable effort into thinking about what it is what it is they believe in, what it is they think. And so for them to change that, it's going to take a considerable amount of energy to move them off of that point. I mean, some will move with good logic, but most will hold to their ideas. It's a nice sign that they tend to care very much about people and animals. And
Yes, my dog is wanting to be in this
you want to be a part of it. Yeah. Hello
conversation.
there. Hi, Dominic. So, yeah, so I find Aquarius energy refreshing. Sometimes the Aquarians can be very individualistic. You know, you're going to find them going their own way in many cases, like letting their freak flag fly, as they used to say in the 60s, right?
Oh, I love that.
It's like, yeah, it used to be a phrase in the 60s, and that's just they're okay with that, and as a result, they tend to be the innovators of the zodiac. They're not afraid to try something different because they're not interested in conforming. So it's unique, and they really want to authentically live their lives. And you know, that's some uncomplicated, refreshing stuff as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. I loved what you said about having thinking for themselves and kind of sticking to their own thing as long as it feels right for them.
Yeah, they will. They're very much thinker signs, and because they are so much kind of like clear on what it is they're about and what they're doing and so on and so forth, sometimes they do come across as aloof or detached. And I think sometimes people mistake that as them not caring or not being warm. They're actually very friendly people. They're not necessarily physically demonstrative, and they're not necessarily emotive. You know, like the physical demonstration of affection is really a fire sign thing. So that's Aries and Leo and Sagittarius. And they're gonna grab you and hug you and connect with you and demonstrate that warmth that's there. And the water signs, you know, Pisces and Scorpio and Cancer, they're gonna like sort of empathize and feel with you. The Aquarians don't empathize necessarily, and they're not necessarily demonstrative, but they will think with you. You know, they'll talk with you, they'll discuss with you, and they do care, but they might in fact rally around you when you need something, but they won't necessarily cry because you're crying. You know, they might think, oh, this is a terrible time you're going through, but the worst is over. You know, and then sort of it sounds kind of cold, but it's true. And it's to your benefit, and it has the effect of pulling people out of an emotional space where they can't think clearly. And you know, that's emotion is lovely, except for when it's running the show and it's afraid or it's sad or it's any other kind of detrimental effect. And the Aquarian energy will say, like, you know, maybe you need to stop thinking about that or in that way, and it will kind of set you on a path, give you a strategy for pulling out of the emotional experience.
Oh my goodness. Thank you for that, because that just it makes a lot of sense. And excuse me, it also to me just makes them even more lovely, because how beneficial could that be when you're in a certain time, right? If you're feeling very emotional, to have something like that.
Have someone who is like can recognize. I mean, they can recognize, oh, you're in pain or this is a problem, but here's I recognize it, and now I'm going to tell you a solution based on some things I know, or I'm going to offer some help or a strategy, and show up for you in this other more cerebral way. That can be really, really useful. Here's an example. So my husband recently had surgery, and as he's being wheeled into the surgery, he says, "I have to tell you, I'm nervous," he says to the nurse. And in a very Aquarian way, she sort of goes, "Well, I'm just going to tell you this, we're not. You're the fourth one we've done today." And he's like, "That's comforting." That strength of conviction. Right, that strength of conviction that would say, this is how it's going to go. We know what we're doing. And it's not about feeling. It's not about nerves. This is about know-how. And
Oh, see, that is you want something like that in that moment, I would think anyway.
he found it very very helpful. Yeah. The thing about Aquarians that sometimes they'll get like sort of caught up in is that sometimes they can't budge off a point. You know, because Aquarians are designed to hold to their convictions, hold to their thoughts. And so if they get caught in a loop, a thinking loop, not a feeling loop, but a thinking loop, like, I don't like this. This shouldn't be this way. This shouldn't be this way. Sometimes they can't get off of it. And sometimes that's not useful to be stuck in a loop of that nature. So for Aquarians who do get stuck, it's usually they're sort of stuck on a point that doesn't make sense to them. And so they can't move off of that point until it makes better sense to them. And sometimes that can take a while because life is messy and doesn't always make sense. You know, so something like, well, he shouldn't have treated me that way. You know, hey, that shouldn't have happened. This isn't right. These kinds of things. And but it did happen. And it isn't right, but it did happen. And so really kind of wrapping your head around a world that isn't necessarily logical is the problem for Aquarians.
You know, a lot of the things that you're describing, and listeners know, I've mentioned this a couple of times. So I've been exploring neurodiversity a lot lately. And a lot of what you're explaining almost sounds like, are Aquarians neurodivergent?
Well, they're definitely divergent. And honestly, I mean, we can't sort of like sort of paint them all with the same brush, but
right.
Some of the traits that are normally associated with Aquarius could very easily be traits to that would be considered on the spectrum.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's you know, it's more thought based and it's less empathetic, and these are things that are normally sort of considered to be on the spectrum. But I don't know what you like. If you, I have family members on the spectrum and so on. I might even be on there myself. I probably am. Once I understand this about somebody, I go, this is like, okay, I'll give you a perfect example. And I don't know this for true or for sure, for certain,
yeah.
With any certainty. But I was at the grocery store and I walked down the aisle where the rice is, and there was somebody standing there, and he said, "Can you believe the ingredients in the Kraft dinner?" And I said, "Oh, like, first of all, I don't even know what the ingredients in the Kraft dinner are." And he goes, "They've changed them. They used to be this, and now they're that. And they've changed the proportion, and I've looked into it, and it's bothering me." And I said, "Oh." And I said, you've done a lot of research." "Yes, I've done a lot of research in this, and it's bothering me that they've changed this." And he's going on about this. And I was like, okay, well, I just grabbed some rice that I needed and I went on my way. I had to come back to this rice aisle because I got the wrong package. And this was 10 minutes later. He was still standing there looking at the at the Kraft dinner. And he's like, "I still haven't decided whether I'm going to get it or not because I have an objection to how they've changed the formula." I said, "Oh, yes, I see." So, but I was kind of understanding like this. This is either a strongly Aquarian type, or this might be somebody who is a little bit on the spectrum. And this is important to him that he's got to figure this out. Like, you know, but the minute that I understand this about a person, whether it's the astrology of it or just the general life understanding of a person might have a neurodivergence, then I'm like, oh, like I can delight in who you are. You know, I can delight in the fact that he's standing there and he's pondering. And he's going to make it right in his head before he makes this choice. And where it might seem to be a $2 choice to anybody, this is a really important moral decision, whether he's going to support a company that has disappointed him or not. So this is not a $2 decision.
Right.
This is a life decision. Do I live my principles or do I not live my principles? And I don't like what they've done, so should I support it? And so it's... So I can respect that in a person, and I can also find it delightful that somebody would be standing there for 15 minutes pondering this fact. And I think had I not been exposed to astrology or not an understanding that people are diverse in this way, then I think I might have thought, like, what is, just pick it up for crying out loud. Like,
yes.
Get on with your day.
Yeah.
You know? Like, what's the big deal? Right. But it is a big deal. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I thank you for that. I love that you said that because that's the same, like, I'm very much one of those, like, you know, when in Way of the Sun, when you talk about, well, this is how the worldview is of Leo, for example, I'm like that through and through. Everybody should be thinking like me. But as I start to understand, oh, not everybody thinks like me, then all the things that used to get under my skin don't. Like you said, I can delight in them, or I could be like, not interested in that. That's you. That's great. That's fine. and you know, go on to the next thing. So that's one of the that's another reason why I love studying astrology because it
This
helps.
the Aquarian types and also people who are on the spectrum, like, I mean, I love the diversity that is present in the world generally speaking, because the same person who would stand and like muse over the craft dinner is the same person who is going to read through a product manual and put up a YouTube on it and then go, if you have this product, these are all the places where you could have problems, and this is that. I'm like, oh, you did that for me. Thank you. I don't have to do that because you're so interested in this very specific area and on the particular mental part of it that you're creating the service for other people that is really useful. And thank goodness there's people who are doing this because I'm not interested. Just like I want the rainforest to be safe too, but I'm not going to chain myself to a tree. I don't like being cold. Like,
That's the only reason.
it's chilly. Maybe there's animals. I'm afraid, you know. And there are brave Aquarian types who are just like, you know, standing in front of bulldozers. And I'm like, thank you, because I believe in what you're doing. I just don't have the conviction or fortitude to, or the tenacity to sort of read through a user manual either. So I'm really happy that the world is so different in all these ways because everybody does their part.
Well, I mean, again, just goes to show how diversity is important in this world for so many reasons.
Yeah. I mean, if we didn't have diverse Aquarians, we wouldn't probably have as many energy workers and astrologers and people who are doing like sort of weird work with quote unquote weird work in the world, because they would be afraid to not conform otherwise. So you had that strong conviction of like, this is important and the world needs it and it's going to help. And then they do it. They show up and you're like, this is great. I can come to you and you're doing energy work on me and I feel better. And if you'd had less of a spine on this, you know, this wouldn't be available to me. And if you cared more about money than you did about making a difference, you wouldn't do this work either. Because, you know, if you're out there doing your own thing, you know, maybe you make a lot of money, but maybe you don't. But the thing about Aquarians is they don't care. They don't care. They're like, am I making a difference? That's what matters. It's not the money. So it's yeah, anyway, I
So
love the benefit of it.
we need more Aquarians is what I'm hearing. I love
We need
that.
more all of
We need more of everything.
it.
Yes. Now, there's a lot of excitement happening in Aquarius. Now, like I mentioned, we're recording this, we're still in Capricorn, but by the time it's released, it's Aquarius. So we're almost going to be looking in. I feel like we're putting a little message in a time capsule, and we're going to release it in a week or so and see what you say. So what's going on with Aquarius?
Pluto is moving into Aquarius for the first time. Well, it did move in there in March of 2023, just dipped in, did a little toe dip, see how it felt. And then it retrograded out back into Capricorn, and it's come back into Aquarius again. So what we're doing is we're ushering in the age of Aquarius. You know, there's been a lot of controversy about when did that start? Did it start with the space age and man on the moon? Did it start with the hippie movement? It's starting now, from my opinion. So we're getting like this interconnected world now that we didn't have in the 60s when people were sort of first musing about this. And we're all technologically linked through phones and through the internet and all various different ways. And we have technology that's coming on really strong in terms of AI and other technologies that we may not even be aware of, like nanotechnologies that help for medicine and different things like this. So we're coming into this time. So this year is the transition year between the old and the new. And by the time we get into next year, 2024, we'll be fully into Aquarius. And this year we're going to straddle back and forth for a little while. So we're in it now. And what we want to do is kind of look to this period we're currently in. That started like on the 20th of January when Pluto and re-entered into Aquarius, and we're going to watch to see what happens, because the events that happen during this period are going to set a tone of some kind about what this period is going to be about. So that's an important thing. When it comes to like the individual people, Aquarians and people generally speaking, this influence really means that anybody who was born at the early part of Aquarius, the early part of Scorpio, the early part of Taurus, the early part of Leo, they're in for major growth this year. Major. Because these are signs that don't normally give up the ghost. You know, the probably the wrong analogy to use. They don't give up their habits very easily. They don't change very easily. These are the fixed signs, and this is a very powerful energy beginning to come through the fixed signs. And so now we're going to have like some powerful transformations. And this has been sort of foreshadowed over the last several years as the other some other influences have been going through fixed signs, namely the planet Uranus moving through, and it's almost finished its move through Taurus, which means that for the last number of years while it's been coming through Taurus, it's been destabilizing. It's been destabilizing things that are normally very stable. And now that Pluto is coming in, we have the beginning of a reinvention that might take advantage of things that have been destabilized. So if we can think of our own personal lives, we can think of like things that let's think of something very positive, like if if a person wanted to live their purpose and they were working at a job that was just straight up money for them and not their purpose, their attachment to that job would have been destabilizing in the last 6 or 7 years. And as that detachment starts to happen, as that destabilization starts to happen, it's preparing a person to make a massive move into something they really want to do. You know, so that would be a positive expression of this destabilization and this reinvention energy. And this is what's been moving through all of the call them the steady eddies, right? So this is so we can name them as those signs I just mentioned, but really just think of any person you know with a pretty consistent personality who doesn't make changes very easily, then that person probably has some of these influences in their chart, and then they're getting ready to make shifts the likes of which they couldn't even entertain a decade ago. So it's, yeah.
So it sounds, I mean, it sounds like an exciting time. I mean, I'm all, my big three are all fixed, Scorpio and Taurus and Leo.
Buckle
So
up.
but if I could speak from somebody that is constantly going through change, it's almost like just kind of like, and you don't need to, for me, it's not even about letting go. It's about loosening the grip a little bit. Just loosen the grip a little bit and then let the change kind of do what it's got to do on its own. And I think we'll get out of this relatively unscathed.
Make space. Like, yeah, this doesn't have to be traumatic, this change. We just want to, like you say, loosen the grip, make a little breathing room, make a little space for some change where maybe we were less willing to make change before. Just open a little bit to the possibility of change, and that will help bring this energy in better. So it's talking about not rigidity, but openness. And anywhere, I mean, if you look at some of the big tensions that are happening in the world, anywhere, you'll notice that rigidity in thinking or rigidity in position, a lack of capacity to open to see other perspectives is a really big part of why those tensions are tensions and not just change. You know, you can see situations where there's this just change happening and nobody's resisting it. But where we have like a rigidity, we have resistance. And so this energy is kind of knocking at resistance a little bit. If we can willingly become supple, you know, they just allow for be more pliable in the face of possible the possibility of entertaining another perspective or another option, that will really help everybody sort of move
Yeah.
forward. So that means that to where we hold a hard line on anything. My children have to be this way or I'll be disappointed. It's like, well, what happens if you say, I'll take my children however they show up and I'll try to understand their perspective? That creates a different opportunity for growth. And in the same climate, that's easier than what would come with a rigid mindset, for example.
Right. I mean, okay. We'll talk later off camera because I have something to share with you about loosening up and opening up a little bit to some different things just in my life, which is pretty exciting. So now I'm kind of stepping into that based on this conversation and your words. So thank you for that reminder. And I'm going to encourage everybody else out there, if Crystal is saying something and it's kind of like knocking at something or tapping at something within you. Consider that opening up just a little bit to see what can come in because like you said, buckle up. It sounds like we're in for a good time.
Yeah, and it doesn't, you don't have to be an Aquarian for this to apply.
Right.
You could be any sign, because this is the climate that we're now coming into astrologically. And it's funny, usually when we do these segments, I'll talk a little bit about the specific sign and what's going on. But Aquarius is a humanitarian sign, so it's appropriate that we talk about the world and
Right.
everybody. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay, so we just put this out there. I want to see what happens in like now I'm talking we're back here in Capricorn time. I want to see what happens in the next couple of days or weeks and see how it starts to unravel, especially this idea of this is going to set the tone for what's to come.
Yeah.
We got to
So,
get our minds right for our
so
instincts.
presumably, I mean, it's going to be a while, this opening move of Pluto in Aquarius. So, we want to watch everything that unfolds. It's not just what happens like the first day it comes in, or I'm just going to have a quick look to see exactly how long it's in zero of Aquarius. Yeah. So it'll be right up until like February 22nd will be this. So January 20th, February 22nd, that's our opening. That's our opening. The first opening we had AI come on really strongly, which was in March of 2023. So
Right.
now we have this next opening and let's see what it brings in its entirety. So we still have some time. On this, we have about 22 days on this from the airing date, and let's look at all the things that are happening and take them as indicators of where the change of the Plutonian shift into Aquarius, where that change may happen.
Oh, okay. Our next segment, when we get together at the end of February, we're going to talk about this
Yeah,
and
and not just in the world, in your own life.
yes.
Right? Like, so if everybody go like, what's been happening in my life? What new ideas do I have? What changes do I want to make? What information am I now integrating that I wasn't before? And then that will be your own personal experience with this. And then we can also look at the newspapers and the world at large and say, well, what's going on in the world? And then that's more the global expression.
I love this. This is so exciting for me because I love all of this. So, Crystal Eves, thank you so much. Listeners, if you are interested in sitting down with Crystal one-on-one and maybe having a little reading or something, check out crystaleaves.com.ca.com.
.com.
All of Crystal's contact information is in the show's notes. And again, I cannot stress enough, you need to sit down and have a one-on-one with Crystal because it's life-changing. Thank you, Crystal.
Thank you so much for having me on yet again, and I look forward to next time.
And now we're sitting down with our resident naturopathic doctor, Dr. Patricia Rennie. Welcome. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Paul. Nice to see you.
Great to see you. I have to say, I love your shirt.
I got my love sweater on today because we're coming up to Valentine's Day, and I thought it kind of tied into what we're going to talk about. So,
I love it. Today we're talking about fish oil.
today we're talking about fish oil and why it's important and what we should do about it.
Yeah, let's break it down.
Okay. So, fish oil, omega really, when we're talking about fish oils, we're talking about omega-3s primarily, right? So omega-3s are a type of essential fatty acid that we cannot make in our own body. So we have to get it either from our food or from a supplement. I think the big issue in, you know, certainly in North America is we don't eat that kind of diet that feeds us a lot of omega-3s because they primarily come from cold water fish. There are vegetarian omega-3s. I guess we could talk about that a little bit, the difference between vegetarian and animal source omega-3s, but it's very hard in a North American diet to get enough from your diet.
Okay. So, because obviously we're not eating enough fish, so is it important to supplement then this fish
oil?
So,
if you're a big fish eater, great, as long as you're eating the right kinds of fish, because not all fish gives us omega-3. It has to be the fatty fish.
Such as?
It has to be cold water fish because cold water fish need more fat to stay warm, essentially. So,
got it. Okay.
Like ocean-going fish are going to have more omega-3s than lake fish, for example.
Right.
Could you get enough omega-3s if you were eating a can of sardines every day? Maybe, but I can't get people to do that.
That's a lot.
Well, and even if you love sardines, like most people, I can't get them to eat them in the first place. So supplements, I think, are fairly important in this space because it's really hard to get people, you know, even if they're highly motivated, it's hard to get enough from your diet. And the difference between an animal based, because obviously some people are vegetarian and vegan, and so, you know, fish oil isn't going to work for them. But the difference between a vegetarian and an animal based fish oil is the animal version is ready to go. It's prepackaged. The body doesn't have to do anything. It goes right into our cells once it's digested. The vegetarian oils have to go through a processing, which requires other nutrients to do that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as wonderful as flax oil is, you need 20 times the volume of flax oil to equal the same amount of fish oil per omega-3. So I love brown flax. I love flax seeds for lots of other different reasons. But if we're looking at omega-3s, because every single cell in our body has a bilipid layer that makes up the cell membrane that allows good stuff in and bad stuff out. And so I always used to say to people, do you want your cells to be made up of like fish oil fat or French fry fat, right? Like we want good quality omegas so that that membrane is, you know, permeable and we get what we need out of it. So, yeah.
So what is the, like, I love that you just brought that cell because now like my brain is firing. I've got so many questions, but what is the benefit of the fish oil within that cell? Like, is it going to keep us warmer? Like it keeps fish in the water warm?
No, because it's not going to make up our, you know, our insulating body fat, and we don't want too much of that insulating body fat, but it's really that, you know, 80-90% of our brain and our nervous system is made up of fat. Our vision is so important for our vision, our skin, so our cognition, so many elements, especially as we're aging. Like I'm not talking about infants, we're talking about, you know, adults here. So as we're aging, you know, things are drying out, especially in the winter when your skin is drier, right? We need more hydration, but we need the good fat there to hold the hydration in. So all of those things. And then if you're like your joints are drying out and you've got osteoarthritis, things like that, the omega-3s are really important. So what we're talking about today is really therapeutic dosing of omega-3s for specific conditions that we're either trying to maintain or actually improve our health.
Okay. Now I hear you. Oh, sorry. Did you have more to say? Because I have another question.
I have a million things to say.
Well, I'm hearing you say omega-3s. When I go to the supplement store, they have like 369. What's that business? Yeah.
So I often have people when they come in on their first visit, they bring me their supplements. They're like, yeah, I got my omega-3s. And I look at the label and it's actually a 369. So not so beneficial for most of us because our North American diet has us consuming lots of omega-6s. Mm. All the seed oils are omega-6s. The green, it's just in a lot of foods and it's really easy to get. The nines are your avocado olive, avocado oil, avocado as the food, olive oil. So those ones are relatively easy to get because most of us cook with olive oil a lot, put it in our salad dressing. But those omega-3s, they're much more vulnerable to, I think they're less, like they're not as shelf stable, right? So they're much more easily oxidized. So they're not really food oils in the same way.
Got it.
So
okay.
We really want to push the threes. We want to kind of sedate the sixes, and then the nines. Nines are great, right? Olive oil, Mediterranean diet, great. Yeah. But we want to push the threes. And the other reason we want to push the threes is because when we consume fat, there are a couple of different pathways that it can run down. And so well, if we go back to our French fry fat, that is, you know, potentially hydrogenated oil, that's going to run down the arachidonic acid pathway, which is inflammatory. We're looking for the anti-inflammatory pathway when it comes to things like osteoarthritis and just shutting down chronic inflammation in the body. What we're trying to do is push this anti-inflammatory pathway. So that's why we want relatively more threes in order to settle down this this inflammatory pathway. So that's a big reason for supplementing, because if you can't get enough in your diet, you're not going to eat those sardines or the mackerel or whatever every single day, then it's much easier to do that by a supplementation.
Right. Okay. That's good. Oh my God. I'm going to run to my cabinet now and make sure it's a 3 out of 369. What is the right dose then of these numbers?
Okay. So I think that depends on the condition and the person and probably your baseline diet too. But a lot of the research that's been done will say you need a minimum of 1,000 milligrams or a gram of fish oil. Some things you certainly need more. But the marketing companies are really smart. So a lot of the labels now just show, like right on the very front, it says 1,000 milligrams. And that's what I really want to talk about today, because what you need to do is roll the bottle over and look at the breakdown. Because whatever omega-3 is in there, whatever fish oil is in there, only a small proportion of it or a smaller proportion of it is actually the ones we're looking for that are going to run this pathway for us. So the big ones are EPA, eicosapentaenoic acid, and DHA, docosahexaenoic acid. The DHA is more for brain development when we're younger and cognition when we're younger and building that brain. What we want at this point in our life for the anti-inflammatory in the joints and the skin is the EPA. And so most fish oils, you're going to find a higher proportion of EPA to DHA. But when you look at that label, if it says 1,000, and then there's one in particular that comes from a particular big box store that a lot of people buy because it's cheap. It says 1,000 on the front, and then a little bit further down in smaller print, it says 180 EPA, 120 DHA. And the math on that is you would need 5.5 capsules to get to your 1,000 milligrams.
Whoa.
Yes, but everybody thinks it's 1,000, I just need to take one.
Aha.
Aha.
Thank you for enlightening us with this, because now I've got to run and go check my label.
It's huge because people, it depends the brand you're buying. It depends where you're buying it. But you really have to look at this piece because there are other types of fat in there. Whatever that total, whether it's 1,000 or 1,400 or 1,500, you got to just look at how much is EPA and how much is DHA. And of that, if I'm aiming for 1,000 or 1,500, what's the math to get me there? So suddenly this cheap bottle of omega-3 is not so cheap anymore. And who wants to take 5-6 pills a day? The other piece about that is that when we process fish oil, all the omegas that we eat in our diet are in a triglyceride form, which is really easy to absorb. When we process it to turn it into a supplement, we turn it into an ethyl ester or an esterified form, which is much harder to absorb. But it's more expensive to turn that back into a triglyceride so that you can absorb it well. So the other reason why some of those fish oils are cheap is because they didn't do the conversion back to the triglyceride. So make sure your EPA dose is high and that your fish oil is in the triglyceride form.
Okay. Oh my gosh. I hope I like, if everybody's like me, I'm like making notes right now of all of this.
Yeah, this one's hard because there's a lot of numbers and I would love to just, you know, show you a label, but it's really, really, really important because you may think you're getting a really good deal. And the truth is you're not getting half of what you think you're getting because that, that ethyl ester form is only about 50% absorbed. So look at your labels and compare labels. And if you're not sure, call the company because they'll tell you if it's esterified or triglyceride. And and then of course my thing is that I much prefer to take a liquid because I don't like swallowing pills anyway. So liquid, with a liquid, if you don't mind the texture and they really don't taste fishy, the quality has improved dramatically over like, you know, cod liver oil when you were little. But if you can tolerate doing the liquid, you get a much higher dose at a cheaper rate because they don't have to stick it in there.
So now I'm just thinking that giant tub that I bought at the health food store a couple weeks ago really would have been better if I went with the oil. And I know you've told me that a million times, but I, for whatever reason, don't want to remember that when I'm at the store picking that giant bottle that's cheaper with all the capsules in it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's really personal preference. I can't get everyone to do a liquid, but, you know, I take it out of the fridge every day. I put some in Sedona's bowl and I give some to me and then it's done. But you know, some people need their capsules, you know, to fill up their little pill boxes and then they know where it is. But
yeah,
but that's my preference. I just don't like to swallow so many pills.
Okay. So we want to look at the EA. So remind me these letters.
EPA, eicosapentaenoic acid, and DHA. So if you're getting 1,000 EPA, you might get 500 DHA.
Okay. And so we're aiming for at least 1,000 EPA a day.
Yeah.
And that's going to be great for brain. That's going to be great for skin, hair, and all the stuff that we need.
Yeah.
For
the only, I guess, the only real caveat maybe I should mention, which I just sort of thought of now, is if you're on a blood thinner, something that's already making your blood thin, part of the role of omegas is thinning the blood too, because it improves cardiovascular health, right? So if you're already on a blood thinner, then you should talk to someone before you take a fish oil because you don't want to be spontaneously bruising.
And always speak to your naturopathic doctor before you take any supplement so that they can make sure that you're doing it right for you. Because I love what you said earlier about the marketing companies. They're just trying to sell their supplements and you might be taking more or not getting enough in the right quality that you need.
Exactly.
Okay, I love that. I'm gonna go check my bottle right now and make sure that I'm doing all the right things. Dr. Patricia Rennie, thank you so much. Next week when we get together, we're still in this heart space because we're talking about, before we even go anywhere, you have something fun to share. You and Kathy are up to something exciting.
Yes. So you guys have met with Kathy before. Kathy's my partner at Ginkgo and Sage Vitality. And we just did a 2-day retreat where we did some planning for 2024. And so if you recall in the fall, we were doing our 60 days of self-care.
Yes.
So at the beginning of March, we're going to roll out 6 weeks of self-love.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah, I thought you'd like that. So 6 weeks of self-love is a slightly modified version of our 60-day challenge. So it's just like a little bit less intense. It's a little bit shorter and we're rolling it out in a community format. So we're going to do 6 weeks of weekly Zoom meetings where we meet for 45 to 60 minutes, where we can just share our experiences. And then we'll do a little educational piece about, you know, why are we doing the things we're doing? Because our ultimate goal is always to have a health span that matches our lifespan and live better longer. So that's what's coming up. You can check us out on Instagram to find the details about that. We're going to have an early bird registration. And then I think around Valentine's Day is when that's going to expire. So check it out. We're really excited.
I'm really excited. That's amazing. So listeners, head over to the show's notes because we'll have the links for your Instagram and all of that stuff to get more information on 6 weeks of self-love.
Yeah.
I love that. Dr. Patricia Rennie, a pleasure as always.
Okay, nice to see you, Paul.
Now, Jackie Talley and I are here together. It is the morning after Arise. We get together once a month and we have our little chat. Sipping our tea and doing our thing. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning, Paul. Here we are again.
Okay, I have to say, it's like not even, it's just after 8 a.m. Eastern, and you already look gorgeous.
Well, thank you very much. I got up early just so I could prepare for being here with you.
You're pretty in pink. You got your little cute earrings on. You look adorable as always.
Well, thank you.
And this is our first time having our little chat on the podcast, first time in 2024. How's 2024 treating you so far?
Well, so far, so good. It's kind of hard to recover from the holidays with all the preparation, and then you do it and then you put it away. But I feel like I'm back on track. I'm ready.
Yeah, I love that both you and I are minimalists when it comes to decorating for Christmas.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So I didn't have that much Christmas stuff to put away. It's just kind of, for me, it's preparing for my family and also for student parties, because I'm teaching 13 classes a week. So I try to do something special for each class. And that wow. by the time that's all over, I'm exhausted. And it's yes. like, well, it's over for me. That's it.
Yeah. Good times. And then you also had your birthday.
I did. And that was kind of my 80th birthday was a big deal. And people made some big doings about it. This one was a little bit more low key, even though I had two or three of my classes that did some special things for me. And I appreciate that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was fun.
And now you're 81.
81.
Mm-hmm. 81 journeys around the sun. Mm-hmm. You have some stories to tell.
I do. I should be writing those down.
Actually, I saw on the Instagram, I was getting these ads. It's this service that they send you an email once a week with like a journal prompt. And then you answer the journal and then you send it back. And then at the end of the year, you have like a book of your reflections. And I guess they're questions about your life and stuff like that. That seems like something fun.
Yeah, it sort of takes the pain, I guess, out of thinking about writing a long article or book or blog. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we were talking a little bit before we hit record, because something that we do in Arise every Monday, because on each day of the week, we reflect or we honor the planet that the day is named after, and Monday is named after the moon. The moon is all about intuition. We pick different cards from different decks that I have. So tarot decks, and I have an archetype deck. And lately we've been using, this is not a plug. I'm just letting everybody know what we've been using. It's the Wild Unknown Alchemy Guidebook, or not the guidebook. This is the guidebook, but it's the card deck that we use. And we've been talking about alchemy in Arise on our Monday morning sessions, and you brought up this lovely topic about how we as fitness professionals, group fitness especially, are alchemists in a way. Mm-hmm. And I love that. We're going to talk about that. For those of you that are unfamiliar with what alchemy is simply transformation, and how in a spiritual way we are transforming literally breath by breath. Through our words, through our actions, through the thoughts that we think. And the alchemist is the one that undergoes that process, that is doing all of that transforming. And so tell me a little bit about how you see that connection with us as group fitness instructors.
Oh, well, I believe that when our students come to our fitness experiences, classes, that they do go through a transformation, unless they're just totally mindless the whole time. But some come in a bad mood and leave in a good mood. That's just one example.
Yeah.
And then over time, they come in weak and they become strong. And then as the alchemist, we are the leader. We are providing the ingredients, the mixture, the chemicals that help them make the transformation.
Yeah, totally. And they're like completely transformed, like you said. In the individual class, it goes from like feelings from, and then over time, it's like the physical transformation. But then even more time is the life stuff that comes with it too, right?
Right. And also the spiritual part of it too, the mind, body, spirit.
Yes.
So then people become committed to coming to this experience. And then they feel like they want to share it with their friends who can come and experience that with them. And as the instructor or the leader, I believe that there's some transformation that can happen there too, as we become more aware of what we're doing and what are the results of what we're providing. Then that, to me, is a spiritual experience to just to notice that and receive it and be happy with it.
Yeah, I love that. Have you ever had somebody like tell you, oh, I was out doing this thing in my life and I heard your voice in the back of my head saying, you know, do this or don't do that? Have you ever had that?
Yes. And also mainly they say, oh, I was shopping for groceries and I heard the song that that we danced to. And so I started dancing.
I love that.
So things stick with them, even though sometimes we think that it doesn't, but we are making an impression. And I believe that we have a responsibility, an ethical responsibility to take our, let's call it power or influence, and use it for good, because we could, people become, I think Claudia calls it, what is her word? We kind of hypnotize our people and they become suggestible and that we could plant good thoughts into them and ideas, or we could take it the other way, which of course we hope that we don't do, but we do have a lot of influence and we do inspire a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so, it's incredible to me, because it's, yes, there are the physical things that people are going to see, like the stronger and the shapes changing and all of that stuff, going from, you know, lifting 5 to 7.5 to 10 pounds, etc. But I also think there's something really, I don't know, it's just beautiful to see the shift in energy, to see the shift in the way they carry themselves, to see that, like, there's one, and I'm sure if she's listening, she knows exactly who I'm talking about. She used to be the shy little like student at the front of the class, but like would not, like didn't really, like she wasn't out there, that then over time, and this is over a few years, transformed into actually being an instructor. So that was even a cool little transformation.
Yes.
To watch, from shy participant to outgo, like, I'll never forget. I was watching her one day. I this was at the closing of my yoga studio. I had a little goodbye party, and she was standing there. We were talking to everybody, and she was like mingling and laughing, and was just this big bright light. I was like, oh my goodness! It was just such a beautiful thing to witness.
Yes. Yes.
And that is just incredible.
That whole transformation from being the shy student to being the confident instructor, that's a long journey.
Yeah. And
yeah. Well, can we talk a little bit about the chemicals or the mixtures or our tools that we
use?
Yeah. Well, I think number one is the music. The music that we choose for let's say it's just it's a fitness class and we're using weights and bands and squats and all of that. So most of us use some pre-prepared music from Power Music or somewhere like that. And some days I choose something that is just absolutely amazing and it changes the entire feeling in the class. And some days I choose something where it's just not working. So music makes all the difference. And we know that music that you like can increase the dopamine and it makes you feel better and it gives you pleasure. So we as the leaders provide the music is one of the tools that we use. And then as we choose the movement that goes with the music, and as we show that we can count and that we can count to the music and we have rhythm, I think that's a really big part of the feeling that we're transmitting to the class. And then the words that we use. And I think last month we talked about words and also besides just the educational words that we use, the directions that we give, but things like explaining what we're doing and preparing them for the next movement so that they know what's happening. And then also giving them permission or saying, it's okay if you want to put your weights down now, or if you want to just do the grapevine and not turn it, but just it's okay to give them that permission to kind of relax and let go of the stress. And maybe they're thinking that they chose the wrong class and this is too hard. So we kind of have those warm, fuzzy words. Now, this is coming from me, an 81-year-old woman. If some of my friends who go to Iron Tribe, they would have different things to say about that. But for me, that's where I am right now.
Wow. So as you're talking, all I'm thinking about is how you went from like quiet little podcast guest to now you basically are just like running this segment. So I'm going to sit back and let you keep going.
Oh, you're so funny. No, I really did think about this a lot, about the alchemy that we mix up. We're almost like the witch stirring in the pot, you know.
Totally.
What are we going to do today?
Yeah.
You know, what's wafting up out of the of this mixture that we have? So
I love it. See, for me, what I add to there is, how am I going to make these people fall more in love with themselves? How am I going to make them love themselves as much as I love them?
Mm-hmm. And we provide that, whatever we provide. And for leaders, instructors who have had many, many years of experience, I think it's easier for us to get the feeling and the back and forth of the vibe that's in the class today and change as we need to change. But if we're going by a rigid plan, sometimes we miss the magic.
Ah, yes, absolutely.
Mm.
And I think that is so true for life.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
It's true, yeah.
If we go in with a rigid plan, we miss the magic. And see, fitness instructor skills are transferable life skills because all of those things that we do, I think, apply to life itself.
That's true. That's true. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad we're having this conversation. I think in the evolution of the instructor, there's maybe going into it with a big ego and, you know, it's all about me. Mm-hmm. And then as you stick with it and you learn and you grow, and then you see that it's not about me, it's about them. And one thing that one of my professors said in undergraduate school that I always remember is that the teacher should become increasingly unneeded. That was not the word, but yeah. So we're guiding our students to be able to be more self-sufficient and not so dependent on us. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I always, when I have conversations with new potential clients and my clients when they are, I always say, my goal is to have you not need me anymore. To get all the things and then come to me when you need. And I think that is the most powerful thing that we can do as educators, as instructors. And I also think, I'm just waiting for the day that Dominic doesn't need me, but I think because he's an animal living in this human world, he's gonna need me for a while. But you know what I mean? I think even like as parents, we want that for our children.
Right. And you don't enable them to remain a child even into their adulthood. Yeah, you're always kind of pushing them out of the nest.
Absolutely. Oh, Jack, see, this is what I love about our conversations because you just take something that I'm like, I don't know, these are alchemy cards that we do every day, and I'm looking at it one way, and you're like, but look at how this is, something that we do all the time. It's like, oh yeah. So thank you for
Yeah,
that.
this has been fun. This has been a really fun and helpful to me conversation.
Same. And I love our conversations. I'm looking forward to more of them. We've got, 11 more that we're going to experience over the course of 2024. So I'm so thrilled. I love you. I honestly, I'm just so happy you're here.
Yeah, I love you, Paul. Thank you for allowing me to do this.
Oh, you're welcome. Is there anything else that you want to share? Because I feel like you have a wealth of knowledge, but.
No, the only other note I made to myself early that if you want to see these, look at this messy at 5 o'clock this morning,
That's it.
is that from the student and the teacher that we all change happens with effort and we all have to put in the work for it
Yeah,
to happen.
absolutely. Oh, I love that. I love that. And in yoga, we always want to find that effortless effort. Like that's something that we promote. And so even in fitness, in life, put the effort in, but make it effortless. It never needs to be a struggle. We never want it to be rigid. It never frustrating because that's a sign that you're not aligned. But I love that. Put in the effort, open up your heart. And just continue being fabulous. I love that. I love you, Jackie Talley. Thank you so much for
Thank
being
you. Love you.
here. Love you. Listeners, we're back again next week with Claudia Miko and the Mind Body Misfits. And we have two guests for you on the Mind Body Misfits. So check us out. Otherwise, have a beautiful week. We'll see you next time.
Spiritfully Podcast is a Spiritful production. Executive producer, Paul Galoro. Co-producers, Claudia Miko and Catherine Stilo. A big thank you and much love to you, the Living Spiritfully community, for liking, subscribing, sharing, and supporting this podcast.